Please remain standing if you're able and turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We'll be picking up at verse 40 through the end of the chapter. John 7, starting at verse 40. Now hear God's word. Some of the people, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, "This certainly is the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Christ." Still others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." The Pharisees then answered them, "You have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or the Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to him before, being one of them, said to them, 'Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?' They answered him, 'You are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee.' And everyone went to his home." Thus far ends the reading. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you again for drawing us here today. May we worship you in spirit, in truth, as you command. May we rejoice at hearing your word proclaimed. We ask that you would bless your servant in doing so. Grant him a clarity and a joy and a convicting power. And Lord, may we listen carefully and be nourished. We ask, Lord, that we would also be mindful of our sinful nature and yet rejoice at the finished work of Christ. We plead with you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Please do have your Bibles open to John chapter 7, 40 through 53. We've been in this chapter for a while, but all of it has been important to prepare us for what's coming today and what's going to follow. Remember, Jesus is on track to go to the cross. The disciples don't know that. The Pharisees would like to see that. But Jesus alone knows that he is the one who will be going there and that what he's about to say is really going to lead even further, along with what he's going to say to the adulterous woman in the next chapter. The division of the Jews, both on the ground during the feast and in the Sanhedrin, was no accident. It was simply and purely based on a fundamental, and you've heard this phrase before, breathtaking ignorance. A breathtaking ignorance of what the scriptures teach, specifically about what they teach concerning the Messiah. As a matter of fact, the scribes and Pharisees, the teachers of the people, seem rather blasé about making it clear what the scriptures do teach about Messiah. They're more interested in proving Jesus can't possibly be the Messiah, which means they're not looking at their Bibles, they're looking at their prejudice. So many of our problems in living for Christ, you see, are based on a lack of interest, a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge of what the scriptures teach. Because, you see, to understand who Jesus is, to understand what Jesus came to do and how he came to do it, and what he's doing in your life requires, absolutely requires, that you understand the scriptures. This is fundamental. We don't give our opinions. We should not give our opinions to people. Well, I think this about Jesus, or I like to think about Jesus this way. That's not what a Christian should do. to understand who Jesus is and what he came to do, you need to understand the scriptures. There's much error in the churches and among those who are not Christians that comes from not understanding the Bible. And sometimes that can be true of actual committed Christians as well, because we're careless about the scriptures. We've got to be careful. And one of my goals this morning is to persuade you to be much more diligent in your study of the scriptures. The first point we see here is that the division among the Jews was not limited to the crowds on the street. There was a division on the streets because of Jesus. Some believed him to be the prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, 18, you look at verse 40. Some of the people, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, "This certainly is the prophet." Now, it's true enough, because Deuteronomy 18, 18 said God to Moses, "I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." The people understood this to be a promise. Now they're looking at Jesus and saying, well, he has an awful lot to say that sounds right and good. Could this be the prophet? But others thought he was the Christ. And yet others doubted this because of where he came from, verses 41 and 42. Others were saying this is the Christ, till others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? And then, has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? Now that's pretty good, because Micah 5:2 says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." That actually says that the Christ will come from Bethlehem, and he will be someone whose comings are from eternity, meaning God. The Messiah will be God as well as man, if they only had eyes to see that. Now others just took the shortcut and says he should just be arrested. He's causing trouble. He's just a troublemaker. Let's arrest him. This wasn't the Pharisees now saying this. This was some of the people saying, arrest him. He's just causing trouble. Meanwhile, in the temple, where you would hope for better, the situation was no better. The temple agents seemed to be persuaded about Jesus, that he was genuine. Remember, they sent police out to arrest him. If you see anything suspicious, take him. So in verse 45, the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has he spoken the way this man speaks. His grace, his wisdom, and perhaps a touch of the Holy Spirit's influence has kept these men from arresting him and are now actively thinking, maybe this is the genuine article." However, not the Pharisees. 47 through 49 betrays the attitude they had toward the people. Pay attention to that especially. The Pharisees then answered them, "You've not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he?" Listen to the arrogance of that. "But this crowd which does not know the law is accursed." You see how they view their people? The people they're responsible for teaching, they believe God has given them to teach them. In fact, he had. But they think this is just an ignorant crowd. How can they possibly expect it to know as much as we know? But there was a distinction. There was another person amongst the Pharisees, one who knew from an actual interview with Jesus. See, he did what others were willing to do. He actually spoke to Jesus. He actually allowed Jesus to speak to him. And it seems that Jesus has gotten through to him. Verse 50. Nicodemus came to him before being warned. He said to them, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?" Now he's looking at the Bible. He's looking at the law that these men are supposed to be experts on, and he's saying, Well, is that the right word? He's spoken to him. He doesn't add what he could have added. Well, I did. But no, he says, we have to interview him. And look at what the rest of the Pharisees say to him. You're not also from Galilee, are you? And the second part of this is incredible. Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Are you kidding me? That's what you like to say in New York. Are you kidding me? What both the common people and the Pharisees, except for Nicodemus, had in common was ignorance of the scriptures. Now, the people could be excused to some level for that, but the Pharisees, who know what the rabbi and this and rabbi that say about this passage and that passage, they abuse Nicodemus for reading the scriptures and quoting it to them, but only Nicodemus seems to understand. Note the doubts are based on ignorance of the scriptures. Verses 41 and 42. I'm sorry, not verses 41 and 40. Yeah. Verses 41 and 42. Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Not the scriptures said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? But then what they say to Nicodemus in response to his question is, you're not also from Galilee, are you? And they say, search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. The ignorance of the Pharisees is simply inexcusable. Only Nicodemus seems to have studied the law. Look what the law said, and I'll simply read it to you. Deuteronomy 17, 6, 1, 16, and 19, 15. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die, that's what they want to do, shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. Hear the cases between your fellow countrymen and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countrymen or the alien who is with him. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. They don't want to bring two or three witnesses there. They want him arrested now. They want him put to death now. And they're forgetting the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. It would seem that Nicodemus was thinking about that. If he wasn't, he understood that principle. The ignorance, and it's breathtaking on their part, especially with regard to them saying, as to a prophet not coming from Galilee. Did they all forget that Jonah, Hosea, and Nahum came from Galilee? Those three prophets? Or were they too minor for their attention? Didn't they remember that? They didn't remember the law? And they don't remember the prophets. And these are the teachers in Israel. Remember Jesus said to Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? They didn't seem to know. They didn't seem to understand. And so what do they do in verse 53? Everyone went to his home. They just went home. No resolution. No explanation of why they didn't remember it. No caring they didn't remember it. They go home feeling justified in their indignation over Jesus. But this is in God's plan, and this is only going to accelerate until they crucify Jesus. And all because, and keep this in mind for the rest of the gospel, they're going to crucify Jesus because they don't understand the scriptures. It's outrageous. That's unjust. And I'll say it again. It's based on breathtaking ignorance. So what do we take home from this? Well, the lesson for us is really very simple. To know who Jesus is and to know Jesus and his ways, you must know your Bible. I'm continuing the theme that you must study your Bible. And that means you must read both the Old and the New Testaments. It's possible to be so in love with the New Testament, you should be, that you forget there is an Old Testament. And without the background of the Old Testament, you don't understand the New Testament. And if you don't have both, you don't understand Jesus fully. The gospel begins, remember, with God's promise to Adam and Eve. Remember, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. That's about Jesus. As the Old Testament proceeds, various parts of Christ's work and character are set forth in prophecy and types. A type in Scripture is simply someone who resembles Jesus, or an activity that resembles the work of God in salvation in the future from the perspective of the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now that was fulfilled by the Pharisees here in our text. He was despised. They didn't esteem him. He wasn't worthy of any serious attention other than the attention necessary to get them out of their way, avoid, deal with the truth of God as he was speaking it. And as the Old Testament proceeds, we want to remember, yes, Deuteronomy 18:18 does reveal Christ would be a prophet like Moses. And in fact, every prophet of the Old Testament shares aspects in similar to Christ in his character and ministry. So it's important to study the Old Testament and look for types and shadows and direct prophecies so you understand who Jesus is, what he came to do, to recognize that he is in fact God come in the flesh. Now, if this is too elementary for you, sometimes we mess up on the elementary. We study the Old Testament, we must study the Old Testament. So start by reading and studying the Old Testament. And this takes time and determination because the Old Testament is in fact full of information you need. And the Old Testament, longer than the New Testament, requires patient, persistent study. Not just passing the eye over it, but actually reading it to say, God has something to say to me here, something to say to me about Jesus. Perhaps start with passages of the New Testament that speak of the Old Testament being fulfilled in Christ. For example, Matthew 2:15. I want you to listen to this. We read Christmas. We're told that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Egypt to escape Herod, keep him safe. And Matthew writes, she remained there until the death of Herod. This is to what fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet of the Lord through the prophet, and the prophet was Hosea. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, that's so familiar to us. Sometimes we don't think much about it, but I want to illustrate for you some of the important factors in studying the scriptures about the Old Testament to find out about Jesus. We need to be careful and thorough in our thinking. In the Old Testament, Israel was considered by Yahweh to be his son. He refers to to Israel as his son in various passages of the Old Testament. And therefore, we call Israel a type of Christ who is called his son by Yahweh. In other words, Israel represented the love of God for Israel was symbolic of the love he has for his son, or the love he has for Israel is representative of the love and care for he has for his only begotten son. And so they're called his son by Yahweh. Jesus himself was God's son in the flesh. And so it was perfectly appropriate for Matthew to say that in the account of Jesus going to Egypt and returning from Egypt, to quote Hosea, 11:1, to foretell that Jesus would be called out of Egypt to save his people. And that's in fact what happened. He was called out of Egypt to return to Israel, where he grew up under the tutelage of his parents and other rabbis as he went to Bible school and grew so that he could do the work of saving his people. Now, it's not easy to understand types, shadows in the Old Testament. It's difficult. Commentaries can help. If you don't know what commentaries to use, speak to Rick, speak to Ben, speak to Bill, speak to Pastor Bob, speak to me. We'll try to give you the easiest commentaries to know. If we don't know, we'll say, let me look that up for you. But use commentaries. They're very helpful. Use the cross-references of your Bible and find commentaries to help you. But most of all, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. But most of all, pray for insight into Scripture and look for people in situations similar to your own and ask God for wisdom to apply it to your cause. Maybe you're grieving over something and you don't know what to do with your grief. Ask the Lord to show you promises of his help in the Old Testament. Look at the historical account of Jesus going to comfort Mary and Martha after Lazarus died. You see, prayer is essential to understanding the Scriptures, but especially the Old Testament. Do you see why it's important to study Scripture carefully? It takes work to understand the Old Testament. It's not easy, but it's necessary. So my point is, if you're to understand what Christ is doing in your life, you have to go beyond the surface of Scripture. You need to go deeper. It's not enough to rely on your feelings of what God may or may not be doing in your life. Feelings cannot be trusted. When you're struggling with life, how to respond to events in your life, you need to spend time in prayer and Bible study to teach you to think biblically. Ask for insight into Scripture and look for people in situations similar to your own and ask God for wisdom to apply that to your case. When David was looking for wisdom as to when to attack the Philistines, he prayed. Maybe you're looking for a situation to know how to respond to people. Remember that David prayed for wisdom, so you can pray for wisdom as well. And expect that God will give it, because James tells us if we ask for wisdom, God will gladly give it to us. And use the cross-references in your Bible. And again, find commentaries to help you. But most of all, again and again, I'll repeat it, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And all I'm telling you here is to follow Jesus' own example. Let me demonstrate that for you as we come close to the end here. Turn with me to John chapter 2, 1 through 4. Remember, we've been seeing how the hour is spoken of, Jesus' hour is spoken of. In John 2, 1 through 4, Mary comes to Jesus and says, you know, they have no wine. And Jesus says in verse 4, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. And then turn to chapter 7 again and look at verse 8. Remember, his brother said, why don't you go to the feast and speak openly to them? People want to get to know you. You've got to show them. You've got to show themselves to you openly. And Jesus says in verse 6, my time is not yet here. Your time is always opportune, but my time is not always here. And verse 8, go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to the feast because my time is not yet fully come. And then verse 30, they wanted to arrest him, but they couldn't do it. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Now turn to chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. And the context is that the Gentiles, the Greeks, want to see him and speak to him. And he says when he's told, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and it dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." We'll look at this much later. But the word of Gentiles wanting to see him was his signal from the Father, "It's time. It's time for me to go to the cross." He's thinking biblically. He's looking at the scriptures, you see. Do you see how Jesus responded to the challenges in his life? He was guided by the scriptures every step of the way. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He studied the scriptures growing up. He continued to reflect on the scriptures in his ministry. More often than we think, when he said that sort of thing, he did only what the Father did, for example. He was thinking of scripture, because that was the word his Father had written. I don't doubt that he heard the Father's voice in secret. But he was thinking of the scriptures. The Pharisees and the people they ruled and the people they taught were breathtakingly ignorant of what the scriptures taught, and that led them to murder Jesus. You see what you can get into if you don't know the scriptures? Now, why is this so important? Perhaps you've already caught on. Because you are a sinner who will be lost for an eternity in hell if you do not trust Jesus for your salvation. That's why it's important for you to know. But how can you trust Jesus, even as a Christian, if you do not know him, except as a figure in a book? Would you trust a pilot to fly a plane if you did not know if he knew how? I don't think so. Would you trust a doctor if you did not know if he had been trained to operate on your heart or brain, or that he missed the class on how the brain works and how to operate on it? I don't think so. Of course not. So tell me now what it is about Jesus that causes you to trust him for anything, to trust him for the salvation of your immortal soul. How can you do that if you really do not know him, who he is, and how he can and will help you in your hour of need? That is why you need to study your Bible, to learn all you need to know about Jesus so that you really can trust him with your life, both now and throughout eternity. Beloved, there is no room or excuse for being ignorant about Jesus when you have your Bible and you have the Holy Spirit to help you learn, to teach it to you. Study your Bible. I think that Janelle put a wonderful thing in your insert. Something on the back after the Grace Gems called "What's on Your Bucket List?" In the middle, it talks about the Christian looks at life differently. Listen to what is written there. As he ponders his life, he sees many tokens of God's goodness to him, and has a fond remembrance of much of his past. But he does not consider that his good times are coming to an end. He does not dread death and privately fear that it will bring an end to all pleasure. On the contrary, he expects death to bring him into the presence of his beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Death will bring about the fulfillment of his long-cherished dreams. Death will bring an end to his transgressions. Death will bring perfect holiness. Death will mean paradise. And how does a Christian know that? That's how he knows that. That's how he knows that. He studied his Bible. That's where the hope is found. It does no good to languish or lie in repose in dire fear of what's coming or feeling sorry for yourself. Know your Bible. And that takes study, not just reading it, but studying it. You cannot afford to be wrong about Jesus. You can afford to be wrong about the Pythagorean theorem. You can be wrong about the theory of gravity. You can be wrong about how to tell the time and the clock, but you cannot afford to be wrong about Jesus. And you cannot spend too much time reading and studying and meditating on the scriptures. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, Jesus, to be fair, did not have that in his Bible. But he did have this. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Last turn. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Psalm 119, 97 to 104. This is what guided Jesus. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. How do you think Jesus outfoxed that fox Herod? How do you think he outfoxed the scribes and Pharisees? They are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, all my rabbis, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. It was Jesus being taught by his Father in heaven in the scriptures that made him wise enough to know when to go to the feast, what to say in the feast, how to respond to questions, and when to say what he said. It's what prepared him to go to the cross. There's someone in this congregation I admire very much. I will not embarrass them by saying why or by mentioning their name. But the fact that they are so soaked in the scriptures that when they pray, they reflect what that person knows. That's why I admire that person. My point this morning can be reduced to this. And take this. Remember it and live by it. Be a man or woman, boy or girl, who knows the scriptures well enough to be equipped for every good work and able to be wiser than your enemies, too wise to be led in a false way. Beloved, study your Bible. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures. That in them you show us the way of life and the way of wisdom.